Rashog, what's happening?
I just don't think those are stones that you're allowed to throw. I don't think you are allowed to throw those
I
stones.
I can throw
at me.
Any stone I want. I go gel free all the time.
I feel like there's certain.
It'd be like me coming in, you know, scraggly all over. It'd be like me not shaving my head for 8 days and looking terrible.
Yeah, it's just
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Like, it's good to go au naturel. You should be gel free more often. Yeah, you're helping the environment.
It's a little longer these days, so it's a little tougher to, you know, the dippity do takes a little more of it. So it's.
I think you should just go without.
It's tough on the budget.
You should do a hit with no gel once, just once, just to see, and then
we could. On the sidelines?
Yeah. Well, maybe not on the sidelines. A little windy outside. You don't want it to blow around too much. But when you're in, you know, you can comb it. Just go without gel just to see one time.
I would get an email instantly from my boss.
Really?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, but what if it was one of those hits in the morning, right? So that, you know, it's a pre-packaged one. You could probably get away with it.
Yeah, no, they watch everything. And
they watch it, but he might just say, hey, put some gel in next time. Or what if he says, wow, we actually like that?
Like, hey, buddy, fire in some dippity.
See, I always find that you like to blame your boss, but then I had your boss on my show, and I remember because your excuse was.
Stew on it.
Yeah, I had Stew on it.
Stew's like, saying Stew's my boss is like saying that.
Yeah, well, he's the president.
That's like saying, you know, Daryl Cates is Taylor Hall's boss. Like, he answers to about 70 people in between.
Yeah, but Stu was the main guy, and Stu said you were allowed to grow a mustache for Movember because you always were like, no, I can't. I'm not allowed. And then I see all the other guys on TSN do it, like the anchor who's on for hours every day, and they're all in these cheesy stashes. So I think you could go jealous for a day.
I think you're not allowed to have my boss on the show anymore.
I think you could go jealous. I think the viewers would like to see it once just to see. Right, because then we could do split screens, and here's Rashog with gel, Rashog without.
Far too much time speaking about my hair. This radio thing is killing me. I got the morning guys have my mom on the show. You have my boss on the show. Mm-hmm. I just think I'm going to back away from this radio thing. I keep getting in trouble from everybody.
They have your mom on the show, really?
Yeah, Donna was on the morning show. Yeah. It's great. She was giving them heck,
hopefully
actually.
Really? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that's a good mom.
She didn't like the way they were treating me. So heads up, you are not protected.
I'd rather get Randine on the show. Like, if I'm going to go, let's go because that would be good. She would throw more barbs than I would. That'd be the best part
about it. That's just it. You guys have a lot in common. You love piling on me. You love absolutely ripping into me.
The Eskimos, Fred Stamps back, it looks like anyway.
Yeah.
Mike Riley, based on practice, I would say no go. And the fact that Matty Nichols, you know, because tomorrow's a walkthrough. They don't really throw any balls.
Yeah,
today was
today
the last day,
hey?
To really test it. And the fact that he didn't, to me, shows it's pretty obvious he's not ready to go for them. And John White, unlikely as well. He's really still their number one running back. And now Grant Shaw's out. And I think people are going to overlook it. But Grant Shaw does all three jobs, and he does them all very well. That's a major loss for the Eskimo special teams.
Yeah, and he's the thing you hit on is that he's doing them all well. I mean, he's hitting the field goals that he has to hit. You know, his corner kicks have been really, really good. He's been really good and really consistent for them. So that's a loss for them. To me, I don't know what you think in terms of how much you judge this team based on what they do with Matt Nichols at the helm as opposed to Mike Riley, but I just think it's such a huge loss. And no offense to Matt Nichols, but to me, there's a pretty big separation between the two of them. So if Mike Riley's not ready to go, you know, that's a huge, huge loss for the Eskimos, I think. And I think that's probably the biggest one. I think there's separation there. And on a number of different levels, you know, like, no disrespect to Matt, but Mike's level, his compete level, everything about his game is what is required for the Eskimos to get over the hump against Calgary. They need to have him in there.
10 straight losses to the Calgary Stampeders.
Like, at some point, it's got to just not matter who you got in there.
They're just stealing their lunch money right now.
They are. Yeah, and this is the year for the Eskimos to be in that fight. I mean, the previous years it's been they haven't even been in the fight, but this is the year.
But
already twice this year.
But the thing is about Labor Day, in other seasons, there were years, you know, when Calgary was going 15-3 and, you know, Edmonton was – they'd still find ways to show up on Labor Day and at least compete and win. Like last year, Labor Day was embarrassing for the first 53 minutes. Then they made a little miracle comeback, didn't win but came close. But for basically 53 minutes, that game was over. Yeah. And, you know, it's – to me, it's something that shows – that they need to go to the next level. And you've got to get by. Like, I think it's a big game for a variety of reasons. A, to get over the hump of saying we can beat Calgary mentally, because if they're going to face them in the playoffs, unless they flat out beat them, they're going to have to go to Calgary because Calgary owns the tiebreaker. And the other thing is, if they really want a shot at home playoff date.
Oh, yeah.
You know what?
There's a lot on the line.
There's a lot on the line on Saturday. And so it's great that they're getting Fred Stamps back. Nichols has to play better. Their entire offense has to play better. But I think, you know, this is just a big game for the psyche of this team.
Not again. I mean, what would we be saying about the Stampeders if they didn't have their starting quarterback and one of their top receivers? I just think the Eskimos last week, I think they were fighting an uphill battle. I really do. And I know that Nichols had played pretty much the entire game the week before. I just see a lot of separation there. So, yeah, 10 in a row is too many. There's a lot of implications playoff-wise for this game. Stamps have beat them twice already. If the Eskimos really, truly want to be, you know, kind of the cock of the walk in the West, they can't lose all three games this year to Calgary. So we'll see what happens. I think there's a bunch of little areas of the game where they can really help themselves out by shoring up a little bit. Like, field position-wise, it just felt that whole game like they were fighting from behind.
Well, their offense could never even get decent drives, so they would start Calgary deep in their
own. But it wasn't just that. It was, I mean, they never got anything in the way of returns, any punt returns at all. Even an extra 6, 8, 10 yards that would help, just not have them pinned so deep. So little things like that, a little better coverage on the returns and some of the penalties they took that, you know, sustained Calgary's drives. When you don't have your starting quarterback, when you're playing against a team as good as Calgary, you can't do the little things wrong that put bullets in your feet. And that's what they were doing. So it's going to be a similar situation for them this year or this game. Stamps is back and he will help. I'd like to see them work Chambers in a little bit more. I'm not sure what they're going to do with Guyett. They need to give him a chance to dig out of this a little bit, but
that was a tough one. Yeah, it was a bad game for Guyton. There's no
There's
no argument about it. You know, you look at it, he has only an 8.5 average per catch this season. You know, he's got 30 catches. He's a number three, maybe a number four receiver, which is fine. You know, Chambers is the one who you know, he'll make a spectacular catch like he did on Monday, but he is not getting open often enough. Flat out, it comes down to it. If you're open, they'll find you. And because I was looking at, you know, you can look at catches and then look at how many times they're throwing to a guy. And if they're throwing to a guy and it's getting knocked down or maybe the guys are overthrowing him and you're like, well, geez, Chambers isn't getting any catches because of a lot of other things. He's not getting a lot of targets. And if you're not getting a lot of targets, you're just not getting open.
Yeah, but I also think that with Matt in there, I really felt like Matt was keeping it pretty simple and going to his go-to guys. I mean, towards the end of the game there, he was just throwing ball after ball after ball towards Bowman. And Adarius was kind of struggling a little bit towards the end of the game there. He was tripping over his own feet, and he had a little bit of a rough go. So I'm not sure if he's in there, if spreading it around a little bit will help. But I just thought Matt was I don't think telegraphing is the right word. I just think he was going. Everybody knew where the ball was going on a lot of those plays. He just kept going back to Bowman on it and maybe working it around a little bit more and getting some more guys involved more consistently. And with Fred Stamps back, he'll be able to do that. But they need a little bit of a run game, and Matt needs to find a comfort zone, because to me, he didn't look comfortable in that game at all. He looked more comfortable in the Toronto game. Didn't look comfortable at all in that Calgary game.
Switching over to the NHL. You know, it's getting closer now. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, the second line. Well, it's not second. It's second and third. And just the overall center position for the Edmonton Oilers. And, you know, I ran over quickly at the start of the show today. There's very few jobs actually up for that are real legitimate battles this year. There's defense, Marinson and Klefbom. How concerning is that for a team that's missed the playoffs for 8 straight years that you basically have your lineup set before camp goes?
Well,
does that mean they still don't have enough depth in the organization to push some of the guys out?
No. I think it's a little bit different this year than it was last year. If you remember last year, part of the reason, and it kind of felt a little bit the same last year, but Craig McTavish went out on a limb and signed a bunch of guys that I think everybody went, what? Like, should they even be in the NHL? I'm talking about the Grebishkovs and the, you know, Belovs and these guys. And these guys were on, some of them were on one-way deals that were just gobbling up spots. But don't you think the reason that there aren't many spots open this year is because they do have better players? I mean, they've got better defensemen in town now. Mark Fain eats up a spot on this team, and he should. You know, Nikita Nikitin, NHL defenseman, eats up a spot on this team. Now, Ollie is a guy who...
He's their number seven.
He could, or yeah. And if somebody outplays him, hey, maybe he has to start. It probably won't happen, but...
Well, the reason, the reason why he's your number seven is because he can sit in the press box and his career is not, you know, his development.
Yeah, you don't want to sit Marinchin.
Yeah, Marinchin and Klefbom. Having one of them is six and one of them is seven.
Yeah, for sure. But between Pouliot and Purcell on the other side, I just think they have better players speaking for these jobs now. Okay. You know, they made the trade for Hendricks last year. He's on the one way. I wouldn't say that I'm really concerned because – I don't think the organization has a lot of guys internally that will be fighting for these jobs anyway.
Yeah.
Like, who's fighting for forward positions?
Tyler Pitlick. It's the only one.
Yeah, and then it pretty much ends there, right? Mm-hmm. Realistically.
Yeah, and then Klefbom and Marinson.
Yeah, and the two guys on the back end. So it's not like they've got this lineup of guys who, hey, jump ball. Let's see which one of our golden prospects can grab this thing. You have to give one-way deals to good NHL players now, and they've given out a few more one-way deals to guys, and those spots are spoken for. That's just the way it is.
The fact that these players were all from the East, when you look at how dominant the West was last year, and the player free agent guys, all Nikita Keaton,
yep.
Fane,
yep.
Purcell, Pouliot, East. Concern?
I don't know if that's a concern or not. I think when you're talking about free agents, I think you just have to really look at each player individually on his own. I don't know how worried you are about which conference they come from. I mean, the players, they have their skills, their stats.
Fane was the best free agent signing of the four.
Yeah.
I think he'll have the overall biggest impact on the team.
I think the older blue line is going to be quite a bit better this year. I do. I don't think we're going to be talking 30 games into the season about this blue line being the absolute Achilles heel of this team. I think it's going to be better. I think they have better players. I think they have better options. East-West, I think you just got to look at the quality of the player. Is there a reason why they gravitated towards those guys, or are they just that's the targets they felt comfortable going after? I don't know if there's too much to read into that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Do you think there's any – like, the five centers they have are all pretty much here to start the season, are they not?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, do you see any way that Gordon, Nugent-Hopkins, Arcabello, Draisaitl, and Lander, one's probably as the number – you know, your 13th forward, a guy who can play center or wing. Is there any way that none of those guys are here, barring injury?
No, I would say that most likely all of them are here because they don't want to leave themselves shorthanded at center. So the extra forward, I think, probably needs to be a center or be able to play center. Now, Pitlick has played some center and could play center if he had to. Lander, to me, is a big question mark. Anton Lander, it boggles my mind because very seldom that I watch Anton Lander play do I think this guy absolutely belongs in the NHL. And he just hasn't been given the opportunity. They've been waiting for this guy to prove that he belongs in the league, and he really has yet to do it. So here now they're serving up on a platter this number four center position for him, or the number five and the extra four. I mean, really, it should be his. So they're wide open, and there isn't a ton of competition down the middle. Everybody knows who the four main guys are, and that's one of the areas where there is concern about the lack of depth. Because they're going to have to take a 19-year-old and put him in a position where he's already got a spot to lose. And I think even though he's a very good young player, I think you'd rather be in a position where he's got to earn it. Like Darnell Nurse is going to have to earn a spot on this blue line if he's going to be here. And he may earn a spot on the blue line and still not be here. I mean, it's very possible that could happen. Whereas Draisaitl, he pretty much has a spot to lose. And he can count. Like, he knows the deal. And unless Craig McTavish goes out and there's a deal that he's got in his back pocket that he can pull at any time. So now you've got this kid coming into camp pretty much with a spot to lose. And it's just not an ideal situation for a kid's first camp to come in feeling like he's already ahead of it and probably got a spot. I think you got to feel like you got to play your guts out, kid, to make this team.
Before we let you go, do you have any Super Bowl prediction? Do you think who's going to win the Super Bowl this year?
No, I mean, I know that, that it's very seldom that teams defend. So, you know, it's tough to go with the defending champions. But, no, I mean.
Who would you pick right now today? NFL starts tonight. Who would you pick to win the Super Bowl?
Well, you kind of threw me off because you, when you talk about the fact that teams rarely defend, but at the same time, that's the best, you know, the best team as the season ended last year. So if you throw that out the window, you probably would pick them, pick Seattle.
Going with the Seahawks. I like seeing dynasties in sports. I think it creates a lot of other people to want to follow because a lot of people then want to follow to see them be knocked off. Right? Like, yeah, when the Oilers were that dominant, people wanted to see someone knock them off. When the Islanders were that dominant, they wanted to be knocked off. When the Canadians were that dominant, you know, when Pittsburgh, which, you know, anyone, and the LA Kings now to a lesser degree, even because 2 out of 3, that's really as close as it gets now in pro sports. It's hard with the shorter off seasons and just how close it is amongst the top 6 or 8 teams in all of these leagues. Like, there's not a massive separation between those teams, especially in the West in hockey. Right now, like, had Chicago won the cup last year, I don't think people being stunned.
No,
right?
Yeah. Well, there's 2-3 teams in the NHL that are kind of right in that range every year where they're the best teams in the league, clearly year after year after year right now.
So. Yeah, and you look in the NFL, San Francisco, although they got some suspension injuries, Denver, right now they've got a lot of it's 4 games, so they've got a lot of guys, Molly and other suspensions.
How long do your Dolphins need to be terrible before they're not your Dolphins? Or are you just no, are you can, are you thick
I,
and thin?
I don't.
No matter
I don't
what?
Believe in jumping ship from a team because.
But you have to lose a little bit of interest at a certain point, don't
no,
you?
No, not really. They won the division a few years ago. Like that's, you know, there's 30. I guess I'm a fan. I don't live in the city. Right, so I think it's different. Like, I watch all the Dolphins games. I yell at the TV fairly more than I do at any other sporting event when I'm watching the Dolphins. I still recall, and I was embarrassed to myself, but I actually threw my remote control when they drafted Brady Quinn.
Really?
That was embarrassing. I mean, sorry, when they drafted Ted Ginn Jr., a kick returner.
You didn't throw it at
ninth
the TV,
overall.
Did you?
I just kind of threw it. Like, I was just like, are you kidding me? And it was just, you know, it was the Dave Hodge pencil toss with my remote control. I was just like, you got to be freaking kidding me.
Yeah.
You have the 9th overall pick and you select a kick returner.
Yeah.
Like, Brady Quinn would have been a bad pick too. I get that. But a kick returner, seriously? Like, an old lineman, maybe they can help.
But I feel like you're adopting, like, you're talking a little bit. Like
no, I'm not adopting the Seahawks at all.
You're
no,
adopting the Seahawks
no,
a little
not a chance.
Bit.
No, they, no, I want them to win because I like the story. But they won't win. I would, if I had to pick a team right now who I think wins, I would probably pick Denver. And I can't stand Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Like, I respect the hell out of him. He's the greatest quarterback, I think,
so
ever.
Why can't you stand him?
I just don't like how he is as a quarterback.
Yeah.
Right? He's good. That's why I don't like him. He's not on my team. But I respect the hell out of him. And he's probably the best acting athlete right now for TV commercials and stuff. He's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never bought him in that stuff.
You see him in Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, I've seen
Come
a lot
on,
of
now.
That
He's
stuff.
Been pretty good there. Yeah. The one where he was the fan cheering on the people for the insurance company, that was a good commercial too.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah. And he can laugh at himself. He raps and stuff. That's pretty funny.
No, and like, no offense to Taylor. Taylor's what's the one commercial Taylor
with Crystal
had?
Glass? Well, that was his first one, yeah.
His first one, yeah. Right? So we'll give him a pass on that.
Well, they didn't really have a lot of lines. Couldn't really do much in there, right?
Hey, guys, can I play?
Yeah.
Or who was the other one?
Well, Devin Dubnyk for Epcor. Was it Epcor?
Yeah,
that one was brutal.
Eberle's pretty good. Eberle was pretty
Eberle
good.
Yeah, Eberle wasn't
ATV
bad.
Stuff.
But
better than Giordano.
But they also portray Eberle quite well.
Yeah.
Right? Gets to be the hero guy. You know, he comes in, elbows the jerk who's trying to steal the parking spot from the pregnant lady. Like, of course, everyone's like, wow, what a nice young boy. Smart.
Yeah.
It's good. Puts him in a good light.
Taylor just sort of had to show up clueless as to what was going on around him, right?
Yeah, so it's a tough one.
One of the worst ones I've seen is Max Talbot, though. That train wreck that the Pittsburgh Penguins did. He and – do you remember that?
Man, we could have a whole segment
on
that.
It was so bad.
That would be awesome.
I did a story on that. About
how bad that
was in that. Yeah, back in the playoffs that year, I did a story on it. It was, I mean, he's got to regret it. It was embarrassing.
acting is a lot harder than we think.
For sure.
It's tough. No? Hey, maybe you'll be acting with no gel in your hair one of these days this year. That's all I'm asking for this year. Just give me one thing. One on-air performance, no gel for a shot.
All right. Well, maybe we'll go on the sidelines with no gel on Saturday.
All right. Fire it up.
No promises.